All right, why don't you turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. So last week we were talking about God being our shepherd and where He leads us and how He leads us and how we can allow Him. Oh my gosh, that's so annoying. It doesn't matter. No, it's just the tip of the thingy. It's the wire itself. Are we good? There we go. Praise the Lord. That'll help me stay focused. Amen. God is our shepherd, right? Let's read Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Paths of righteousness. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's pray. Lord, You are good. Have Your way today. God, through Your word, renew our minds. Renew our strengths, God. Lead us to good food today that we may eat and we may drink of You, Lord God, and that we will be refreshed and that You will restore our souls. God, bring a freshness to our relationship with You. God, renew our strength. God, build us up in our faith today. Lord, encourage us, challenge us, transform us. God, guide us on paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, guiding is an interesting thing. And when someone guides us, it's even more interesting. There's a gigantic measure of trust, right? When we allow someone or something to guide us. Am I right? You know, I know a young man who told me a story about when he was guided one time. Actually, many times, but I'm going to tell you one story because he has so many really good I've been guided by a freak show stories. And I want you to imagine a young James Phillips. James, will you stand up, please? Now, I want you to imagine James Phillips, you can sit down, as a 12-year-old boy. Oh, little James one day was sitting in his home listening to his gangsta rap music when he got a knock on the door. Crazy Todd from next door is at the door, and he looks through the peephole. He's like, oh no, it's Crazy Todd again. He's going to take me on one of his wild hunting trips. Crazy Todd won't stop knocking. He knows that Gangsta James is inside the house. And he's like, I need someone to guide. I want to take somebody with me on my wild hunting trip. So he keeps knocking until James finally realizes that, like the Jehovah's Witness, they're not just going to leave. They're going to keep knocking until they get in. And so he relents and he finally opens the door and he's like, Todd, what's going on? He's like, guess what, James? We're going hunting. Saddle up, buddy. We're going to go die doing what we love to do. James is like, I just want to listen to my iPod. But this guy next door is extremely persuasive and James is seduced by his influence. And so off he goes on this wild hunting trip in the interior of Alaska. Early in the morning. Before you can even see your hand in front of your face, Todd and James pull up to the hunting site and they get out of the car and Todd turns all the lights off and they can see nothing. And Todd says, James, we're going hunting. He goes, Todd, what are we going hunting for? He goes, bear. All right, Todd, that sounds exciting. What are we going to hunt bear with? Bows and arrows. James is like, whoa! I'm not a smart man, but I know what being retarded is. So he gets his bow and arrow. And Todd gets his bow and arrows. And as any good guide would do in the pitch dark, would take the weaker vessel, the least experienced of the group, the slower and smaller, and put them in the front. So somehow the guiding trip was guided from behind. Now, Todd was either really mean or really smart. He probably had a good strategy of if James gets caught up by a bear, then I might get one or two shots to kill him. Or be able to get away. So poor little 12-year-old James. Holding his little bow with his knees knocking, walking through the woods. And Todd, crazy Todd, behind him, smelling like urine. Because he likes to put urine on himself, so the bears can't smell him. Of course, he doesn't offer to put it on little James. He just puts it on himself. So they're hunting bear, not as a wise hunter would do from maybe a tree. No. Or find an open field. No, crazy Todd pushes James deep into the thick alders in the pitch dark. Looking for a bear with his bow. So as they're advancing through the thick brush and alders, all of a sudden, in front of James, not but arms reach away, stands up a giant bear. And the bushes, as high as he can see, start leaning over. And in a moment's time, he feels a hand grab him by the back of the collar and jerk him out. Run! Run! Poor little 12-year-old James turns around and poops his pants and runs for his life. Maybe he didn't poop his pants, but I'm sure there was some sort of bowel leakage in fear. Now I want you to consider this as I tie my shoe. Wait. Now, I want to ask you, do you know who's guiding you? Do you know who's guiding you? Or do you know what is guiding you? Like poor little James. Today James would never, ever, probably, most likely not ever, go out on a hunting trip with crazy Todd. Because he knows what kind of guide Crazy Tom is. Todd, sorry. He changes his name so that sometimes he'll trick James into going with him. No, I'm Tom. You look a lot like Todd. No, I'm Tom. Todd's brother.
Come on.
Let's go challenge ourselves in the wilderness. Who is guiding you? What? Even better, what is guiding you in your life? Do you know? You better know. You need to know. Because if you don't know, you could end up on a wild hunting trip with Crazy Todd. And it could have just as easily been the obituary instead of a great funny story. Young 12-year-old boy goes out with Crazy Todd and gets consumed by a bear. Who is leading you? Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14 says, "Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." In Isaiah 3, verse 12, it says, "Youth oppress my people, women rule over them. My people, your guides, lead you astray. They turn you from the path." Matthew 23:24, "You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel." Now, just imagine this. A blind man leading a blind man. That sounds like a dangerous adventure. Sounds a little bit like James's adventure. What are you submitting your life to? Who are you yoking yourself with? Who are you getting your life, your very life? Who are you getting yourself around, and who are you going to for advice? Are they blind or can they see? Are they blind to the truth or can they see it? Now, I see so many times in life, and I see it so many times as I just roam in the halls of high schools or spend time with young people. The blind leading the blind. It makes no sense to me. That so many times when we're struggling with something or we're confused about something, we don't go to our parents.
Oh no.
We don't go to someone who might actually have some wisdom. We go to our friends. So we're struggling with rebellion. We're struggling with obedience and honor. We're struggling with lifting our parents up, or with treating our brothers and sisters with love, or, come on, living in purity. And then we go to one of our peers, our friends, who are also struggling with rebellion, also struggling with walking a pure life and honoring their parents, and we ask them for advice. Okay, when I need advice about my marriage, I don't go to the divorce guy. Right? Okay, when I am struggling in my purity life, I don't go to the guy who goes to the strip bar every weekend. Oh, how do I get out of this lustful situation? He's like, I don't know, dude, let's go to the strip bar. That's how I get out of it. Oh, that's great. Oh! The blind leading the blind. Now, come on, process with me. Does this make any sense?
No.
Who's guiding you? Who is guiding you? What do you believe inside? What is guiding you from in here? What should be guiding you? Come on. God wants to guide you down paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He wants to guide you down paths of righteousness. How do we do this? How do we have this encounter? How do we encounter something or someone that actually knows where to go? See, a good guide knows where to go, right? Right? A good hunting guide knows how not to get eaten by a bear. Knows how to protect yourself from being eaten by a bear. Would probably bring a firearm of large caliber. Not Crazy Todd. Not the blind guide. No, the blind guide goes out with his eyes closed in foolishness. Come on. What kind of guide do you and I need in our life? What things has God put in motion and in place to guide us? The direction we should be going. Let's get really practical. How does God guide us? I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6, 46. The wise and the foolish builders. Luke 6, 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like. He who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building his house who dug down deep. Say deep. Come on. And he laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. What did he hear and put into practice? What guided him into building his house? What was it? It was God's word. God's words. Come on. His word is the thing that needs to dig down deep in our life. To dig out all the junk, all the misguidedness, all the paganism, all the wrong philosophies, the wrong ideas. Right? Come on, all those Babylonian ideas that are trapped up, wrapped up inside of us, guiding us down wrong paths. Come on, we got to hear God's words. We got to let those words dig down deep into us. Dig a deep, deep trench all the way down to the rock that's Jesus. Down to the very relationship with God. And then, there, we need to start building a foundation. The most important, the primary thing that you can allow to guide your life is the Word of God. The very words of God. You've got to eat this thing as a choice morsel, man. It's got to be the best food on the planet. Come on, we got to let the Word of God dig down deep into who we are so we can build on a foundation that will last, a foundation that will produce good fruit. Psalms 119:105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You're in the darkness out hunting a bear with a bow and arrow? Come on, rely on the word of God. And all of a sudden, a lamp is going to turn on. Floodlights come on when you get into the Word of God. You begin to see the truth. Your eyes are opened. And you can see the direction you're supposed to go. You can see the path that you should take. Come on, the Word of God is a lamp that is a light unto your path. A path of righteousness. Galatians 3:24. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. The Word of God will lead you. The law of God, it will lead you right into a genuine relationship with Christ. Into your salvation. It'll lead you right into eternity. Into right standing with God. That's sweet. See, God will illuminate through His Word the path of righteousness for you to take, and you will encounter Christ. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. No, the word is very near you. It is on your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. God's word will draw you into obedience to God's will. Psalms 37, 31. The law of His God is in His heart. His feet do not slip. Come on. You put the law of God in your heart. You allow God's law to just be integrated into who you are. You allow it to dig down deep. You're going to have a firm foundation. We're out playing football. Was it last week? We're out playing football last week. And you know what? There's some big gnarly dudes out there. But those big gnarly dudes know how, no matter how big and how strong they are, if they don't have cleats on out on that wet grass, it's like little wimpy 105 pounders, man. They're like nothing. You can just, they just slip right over. Am I right? Have you guys ever tried to run on wet grass with just your tennis shoes on? You try to run on ice without those little spiky cleat things on your feet, right? You just slip all over. But you get the Word of God deep down in you. It's like strapping on some big old gnarly sweet cleats, right? And you just start running that grass. You got a firm foundation. You're not going to slip. So you got to get the Word of God in you. You got to lace up those Word of God cleats. Whatever. Proverbs 6, verse 22. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, God's word will speak to you. Psalms 43, 3. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Come on, you want to encounter the presence of God? You've got to get the word of God in your heart. You start chewing on the word of God, it will lead you to the holy mountain. It will lead you. It will guide you into the presence of God. Titus 1:1 says, the knowledge of the truth leads to godliness. You want a guide? You want something to lead you? You need the Word of God. This is the best thing that can ever guide you. You can listen to preachers. You can listen to me all day long and to all kinds of people all the time. But you don't know the Word of God? You don't really know if what I'm saying is true. Right? You don't know this word? You don't know if what Britney Spears says every week in The Star is really true. If the way she lives her life is really going to lead you to fulfillment. All right? That John Bon Jovi is going to take you into the eternal truth. Or that Mr. Scientology Tom Cruise is going to like lead you into all truth. You're going to find your eternal destiny. How do you know? You're not going to know if you don't know the word. Come on, you got to get this thing in your spirit. You got to be consuming this thing every single day. When you wake up, the first fruits of your day got to be in the word of God. Because you need a light that can shine onto your path. You need the word so you can see where you're supposed to go. Amen? Come on, you got to have something to guide you. God's spirit will guide you. Nehemiah 9:19 says, because your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the desert. By day, the pillar of cloud did not cease to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire at night to shine on the way that they were to take. When the Israelites came out of Egypt and they were headed out, God sent a pillar of cloud by day to protect them. Come on, them from the heat and to lead them. And they sent His Spirit by night in a pillar of fire to lead them, to guide them. Come on, God wants to lead you by His Spirit. Look in John chapter 16, verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, right, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Say all truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. Come on, the Holy Spirit is, you allow Him to get up inside of you. You be baptized in the Spirit. You speak in tongues. You just speak in tongues all day long. Come on, you know what I'm saying? You got to get the Holy Spirit inside of you and active in your life and get the Holy Spirit guiding you. He will lead you into all truth. He will be that pillar of fire at night, and He'll be that cloud to lead you during the day. Any season, it doesn't matter if it's night or day, rainy, cloudy, sleety. You know what I'm saying? I hate those sleety days. Trying to drive in your car? You ever try to ride your bicycle when it's sleety out? Right? Come on. No, you get the Holy Spirit up inside of you. He's got some nice big sweet goggles and a helmet on. You're just like, yeah. Just eat it. I hate snowboarding when I don't have my good goggles on. Right? Come on, the Spirit of God will lead you into all truth. You know what else will lead you? Is godly character. This will guide you into the truth. Proverbs 11:3 says, in the integrity of the upright, it will guide them. But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Do you know what duplicity means? It's misleading or being dishonest. See, the dishonest or the ones that mislead or misguide, they'll be destroyed by their misleading. But the integrity of the upright, the character of the upright, will guide them. Now look, you allow God's Word to guide you, and it digs out all this unrighteousness and this filth and this junk, and you build it, and you hear the Word of God, and you apply it to your life, and you let it transform you. You let the Spirit of God breathe life to it. And it's not dead religion and a bunch of rules, but it's your life that you live on, and it guides you. It's part of your character. Look, when I study to God about the Bible, about humility and what God says about humility, and then I let it dig out all the pride in my life, and then I let it to build that godly character of humility in me, I don't have to go back to the Word of God to know when I'm in a situation whether or not I should have humility. Because the Bible says that He tears down the proud and gives grace to the humble. He resists the arrogant and the proud, and He gives humility to the grace and lifts up the humble, right? Come on. When I know this and it's already a part of who I am, and I get into a situation where I have a chance to just walk in pride and say, oh, no, check it out. I'm not wrong about that. I'm the pastor. I can't be wrong. The Lord has put a mantle upon me, and I can never do wrong. Come on. No. There's a character of humility in me, and it guides me. It guides me in the right path. I know that I can't go down the path of pride. It'll destroy me. It'll destroy my anointing. I don't want that. I want to please the Lord with my life, and I want godly character. When I have humility and truthfulness, wisdom and self-control and patience and obedience, honor and joyfulness. Come on, when the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I believe in my heart of hearts that, look, God is God. He is my King and my Creator. And there's nothing around. I don't care what the weather is. I don't care what happens in my day. The joy of the Lord is my strength. My position in Christ is what brings me joy, not my circumstances. Happiness is a state of emotional being, okay? But joy is a character trait, is a desire based on the Word of God that was done at the cross by Jesus Christ. That I know that I can stand in the presence of God. That I can go into His throne room boldly, and then all my sins are forgiven. That's what brings me joy. Not the other junk. Not if I get paid this week. Not if everybody's nice to me today, and my little brother didn't steal my shoes, and I don't have shoes to wear, and I gotta go to school barefoot in the snow. Look, that is not what gives me that I cannot allow those kind of things to get me down. Well, this is my one day a month where I just have to be depressed. I haven't been depressed all month, so I gotta pick one day to just have a bad attitude. No, I allow the joy of the Lord to be my strength. And I allow the character trait of joy to guide me every single day. Let them mully grubs get all up on me. Sorry, I heard somebody say that word from the South, and I just wanted to say it. We allow meekness, compassion, contentment, diligence, generosity, gentleness, faith, forgiveness, and sincerity to guide us. These things are a part of who we are. We don't have to refer to the Word of God anymore. The Word of God is alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword inside of me. It's who I am now, not just something I've heard. See, when it becomes who you are, then it just guides you and leads you down these paths of righteousness. Amen? Wisdom, applying the truth to your life, will guide you. Proverbs 16:23 says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Proverbs 4:11 says, I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. You take the truth, like it says in Luke 6:46, you take the truth and you apply it to your life. That's wisdom. You decide, I don't want to take the truth and apply it to my life. That's foolishness. You build your house on the sand. Look, you got to take the word and you got to put it into action and just have faith that God is going to take that faith on His word and guide you into your destiny, into the good things that He has prepared for you, that it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? Come on. Paths. Paths of what? Paths of righteousness. What is righteousness? Rhetorical, don't answer. Righteousness is right living. Right standing. I'm in the right position. Amen? Before God and before others. That is what righteousness is. True righteousness is not just right standing before God. See, if you're in wrong standing with others, you're not in right standing with God. They're linked. I consider the issues linked. We're not in right standing with God. We're not going to be in right standing with our relationships with others. It's not going to happen. You're not in right standing with others. You will not be in right or righteousness with the Lord. The muddy grubs over here. Whatever those things are, they scare me. Now look, He's going to guide you. His truth, His word, His spirit, wisdom, the godly character inside of you is going to guide you into right paths. Paths that bring you into right standing with Him and with others. Amen? This is what we want. We want to be in right standing. Proverbs, well, the first thing we need to understand is about paths, is that there are good paths and there are evil paths. Do not take the path of the dark side. Right? When I first met you, I was but the learner, but now I am the master. Come to the dark side. Right? He's trying to lead Luke down the dark path. Like 20 Star Wars quotes going through my mind that I'm filtering right now. Ooh, that's a good one. Come on there, evil pass. Proverbs 14, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evil men. Psalms 119:104. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate evil and wrong paths. Hate them! Right? Hate. Come on, the Bible's telling us there's evil paths. I mean, big surprise, right? Bad paths led by bad peoples. Right? Come on, all of us have been down a bad path before. Amen. I've been down some bad, dark, scary, nasty, creepy paths that I don't ever want to go down again. Right? They're also good paths. Luke 1:79, to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into paths of peace. Proverbs 4:18, the path of righteousness is like the first gleam of dawn. Look to the east. At the dawn of the third day. Okay, sorry. Paths of righteousness. The first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Proverbs 8:20. I walk the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasures full. Come on. They're good paths, full of peace, righteousness, justice, that fill the treasures. Come on. Make our treasuries full. That's good. Psalms 119:32. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. It's freedom. Psalms 119:35. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find Turkish delight. No, delight. Psalms 119:101. Sorry. I have kept my feet from every evil path. Every evil path, so that I might obey your word. We have peace, righteousness, paths that are full of justice and prosperity, freedom, delight, and obedience. Come on, there's some good paths. Paths. Someday my braces will come off and I'll stop lisping. Praise the Lord. Come on, what kind of path have you been on? I've been on some dark paths, guys. Seriously. Scary juju. Not good. Not good for me, not good for anybody. There's times when I start going down a path, and eventually you get far enough down and you start realizing, I don't really think this is the path I really want to go on. I think this is a path of darkness. A path of the evil one. Right? So one time I went for a run. Once. It wasn't very long ago. And I'm running. I run for 2 miles. That's a long way for a guy my size, okay? I get 2 miles and I see this little path. I run by and I just think, he who risks nothing has nothing, right? Go big or go home. So I turn down this path. Guiding me. So I get down and I'm running. And I realize I run by these I'm way out. I'm up north, on this retreat, right? This spiritual retreat I'm doing. And I run by these really creepy, weird shacky shack things. Why would anybody live on this trail? And why am I running by this house? All these things processing. And the farther and farther I get, I get 2 miles down this trail. And I start thinking, maybe I shouldn't be on this trail. It just keeps getting narrower and narrower and narrower and less like a trail until it ends. And I'm so deep in this trail that I think, I just can't really turn back now. Because then I go all the way back. Then all the way around back the whole extra 2 miles. So I'm add another 4 miles to the 4 miles I already ran. I thought, I'll just make my own trail. Can you say bad idea? So I'm walking. This is almost as stupid as what your guy led you into. I'm walking. Of course, this was during the middle of the day. I'm walking through the woods. No weapons, just my shorts and running shoes through the woods. And it's fall. And I honestly really don't have any idea where I am. But I thought I knew the right direction. And I ended up wandering around in the woods for like 2 hours till I finally popped out on some road. And fortunately, I was able to walk down this road. It took me like 4 hours plus. This little jog I went on took me like 4 hours. My feet are soaking wet. I'm freezing. I'm like, why did I do that? Do you know what path you're getting on? How do you keep yourself from getting on these paths? And once you start getting down them and you start getting this idea that it might not be the right path to be on, you got to go to your guide, right? You got to check out your guide. Go to your guide book. Go to someone who is a good guide that you can trust, has the Word of God up inside of them, and wisdom and character, and they're led by the Spirit, and they can bring wisdom into your life through the Word. They can actually help guide you. You know, I wish somebody would have told me, turn around. Turn around, bright eyes. Every now and then I get them. Yeah, you got to go back about 15 years to get that one. See, you know, you can learn some things about being on paths, though. You know, after I've walked down a, you know, paths when you're out hiking, you get on the same trail and you explore and you get familiar with the path and you get all the way to the end of the path, right? You know what's there. Oh, I went up that path, at least to a lake. There's a good trout in the lake, right? So bring your fishing pole next time. So you get on that path, you start to know what's on it. Start reading the mile markers. You're like, oh yeah, I know I'm halfway. I know where this path leads. You've been on a path enough times, someone could blindfold you, drop you off. You start walking on the path, you'd figure out where you were at. Right? Because you're familiarized. You familiarize yourself with the path. Now we've familiarized ourselves with some dark paths. With some evil paths, right? So when we start getting on those, we know the signs, don't we? At some point, you got to make a decision. Am I going to be the wise builder or am I going to be the foolish one? Am I going to apply the truth of God to my life? Come on. When Little Red Riding Hood went all the way to Grandma's house and she found out there was a wolf there, right? She's not going to go down the same path and go to Grandma's house. When she knows the wolf is there. Come on, don't go down the same path when you know at Grandma's house there's a big bad wolf. Right? You gotta get the truth up inside of you. You gotta let it guide you. And when you start seeing the signs, you start seeing those road maps, those road markers, that you're like, oh, I know what this path looks like. This is the path of pride. Oh, I know what this path looks like. This is the path of gossip and slander. Oh, I know what this path looks like. This is the path of lust. You know, when my wife and I would get into arguments, and I was just wrong, there'd be a point in the argument where I'd realize I was wrong, which is most of the time, guys, okay? Men, get used to this. This is the way of healthy marriages. There's a point where you realize you're wrong. But you know, when I was young, I would just keep fighting. Even though I knew I was wrong. I'd keep going down that path. And then it would be like 1-2 days later, the Holy Spirit, after a couple of days of the Holy Spirit working on me, I'd be like, okay. I'd finally just have to go back to my wife and say, you know what? The thing we're talking about, I was wrong. Right? And then the Holy Spirit got me aside one day and he busted me. And he goes, Josh, if you're going to go down that path and go all the way to the end and then turn around and say, I was wrong, and go back to the beginning and repent, why not stop halfway? And he's like, why not just stop the moment you realize you're wrong? The moment you take a step on the first step of that path, and you're like, oh, I guess I'm wrong. And why not, when the second you see you're wrong, you see that path, instead of taking a step on it, why not just look at it and then pause? Allow the truth of what you know that path is going to lead to speak to you. And allow the Lord and the Word of God, humility, right, to guide me. And just say, no, you know what, honey? Dude, you're right. You're right. I can feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I was being such a knucklehead. I get it. I see it. Please forgive me. Boom. Now we're done. Now we've just saved a day and a half of our life and our marriage. Now listen, young men. Apply this truth to your life. Become the wise builder. But this is the same principle of seeds and trees. If you hear me talk about this all the time. If you have a seed, it's going to be planted and grow up to become whatever it is. I got an acorn, it's going to become an oak tree. The acorn is the oak tree. It's in seed form. The path, when you see the path at the beginning, it's smallest, it's first step, you got to know that that path leads to one place. Darkness, righteousness, whatever it is, it's going to lead to one destination. One, that's all. You got to let this sink in. This is law. It doesn't change. Things are what they are. The Bible says that God will not be mocked, that a man or woe man will reap what he sows. You sow a seed, it becomes whatever it is. And you reap it, period. All right? So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Familiarize yourself with the paths that you're walking on. Be wise. Get your eyes open. Understand paths. Understand righteous paths. Ones that will produce righteousness in your life. Allow the Word of God to guide you onto those paths. And then turn, come on, from the evil paths in this life. Turn from the darkness and the dark things of this world. Come on, the television shows that are just evil. The movies and the pornography and the lust and the jealousy, the envy, the gossip, the slander. All these roads and paths that produce destruction. We got to turn from those paths. And the second we realize we're on them, we got to walk in humility. We got to walk according to the Word of God. We got to turn back around, get off the sucker, and get on the right path. Amen? And we need to do this for His name's sake, to glorify God through our right living. You know what? We could never live a right life on our own or by our own strength. There's just no way. There's not enough willpower. There's not enough power inside of us, inside of you, to be able to live rightly. Live according to God's law. And everybody knows this. This is no big surprise. Everybody knows in the whole world that living according to God's standard is impossible by your own strength. You know, before I got saved, I can remember my buddy, Danny Carew. Good old Danny Carew. Too bad he's married, ladies. He's a good man. Of course, he's a little old for most of you.
What?
Danny, you know what? Danny and I were kind of loose-lipped, you know, pagan, never read the Bible guys together when we were growing up. And then one year, something changed in this guy. And we were pretty close friends. And I remember one time I came up to him and I didn't really know what was different about him. He was just weird. And I remember I was talking about this girl and how good she looked and saying bad stuff, you know. I was a perverted boy. It was bad. Lord God, I'm glad you forgave me. Okay, so I'm telling all of a sudden, he just looks at me and he goes, you know what, Josh, I just don't think about women that way. She's my sister in Christ. I don't allow those things in my life. And I was like, what kind of freak are you? That thought had never even entered my mind. Not once. I'd never even opened the Bible in my whole life. Remember, I was 16 years old and he said that to me. And I'm like, what? Who would ever live that way? That's craziness. And I never could forget it. It like burned in me. And I thought, why is Danny so weird? Why would he live that way? How could he live that way? That's what I was really thinking. How could anybody ever do that? And why? I'm just being honest. And then Danny and some other friends, they led me to Christ. And I get saved. And the Lord gets inside of me and burns all that stuff out of me. All that perversion and all that swearing and all that just coarseness. And righteousness begins to just be birthed in me. And all of a sudden, guess what? Everybody's saying the same thing about me. And I'm the one that's weird and freaking everybody out. Right? And now I start to get, oh, Danny's walking up on some good paths of righteousness. Those are the same paths I need to be walking on. But you know what? People know this. They realize that, and that there's no way to live this way without the power of God. This is why Revelation said that there's power in your testimony. That you overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of your testimony. That people's lives are impacted and transformed by your testimony. That was not in right standing with God and has become in right standing with God. Those things produce not only righteousness in you, while you're being led down this righteous path, they begin to lead others down these righteous paths. See, your testimony, your life transformation, it's for God's name's sake. It's for the glory of God. And it will begin to produce righteousness in others. And you know what? Even to this day, from then and to this day, the testimony that is alive inside of me, the things that God has transformed inside of me, that are now in right standing with God, they speak life into others, especially into those that knew me before I was saved. It's just power. In Mark chapter 5, there's this time when Jesus comes and he jumps off the boat with his disciples, and there's these demon-possessed guys there. Okay, well, in Mark, this is in all three of the Gospels, but in the Gospel of Mark, they're just identifying the one. They're talking about the worst one. And he go, you know, and if you read all three of them, you get a pretty clear picture, all three Gospels of this account. You get a clear picture of kind of what was going on. I mean, the guy, they get off the boat, and the guy rushes over to him, and he's, you know, he says this. He shouts at the top of his voice, verse 7, he says, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you will not torture me." "Yes, Master." See, this guy had been tormenting everybody that comes by. Anybody that walks by this demoniac, people would just get beat up. So nobody would ever walk this way anymore. Besides, the guy was naked. And I'm sure that was scary. I mean, I don't typically go down, you know, alleys and streets where I know there's violent naked men. I don't know about you, but... I'm not really into that kind of thing. And so, you know, the guy would cut himself and scream, and they would try to bind him up in chains, and he was so strong, he'd just like, break him. And Jesus tells the demon to get out of him, and then he asks him what his name is, and the demon says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That'd be kind of scary. And then he begged Jesus again and again to send him out of the area. So anyway, Jesus casts this demon out, right? And then everybody hears about it, and they freak out, and they tell Jesus you need to go. We're scared. And verse 18, Jesus was getting back into the boat, and the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with them. Of course, when he gets delivered, he's in his right mind, and he's clothed. Sweet. Nobody ever seen this guy with clothes on before. That was a testimony in and of itself right there. And Jesus wouldn't let him go. He said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell them in Decapolis, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed because they knew him. And as he changed his path and he put his clothes on, he stopped hurting himself and others, right? And he declares the path of righteousness that he has been on. He doesn't hide it. He goes and he tells everybody what God had done in his life, his testimony. He doesn't just get up and beat the word of God over everybody. He gets up and he shares his testimony, what God has done in his life, right? And all of a sudden, people are amazed. They're like, you mean you were the naked dude that beat me up that day? Seriously, that was you?
Well, you look better now. I mean, full.
What was it with that voice thing? I mean, there were so many of you then. Right? Like, sweet, there must be a God. Come on, some of you up in this place, the way you used to live and who you used to be, we know there must be a God. Right? Come on, there must be a God. Because it's obvious by who you used to be, and some of you, you know who I'm talking about. You, come on, you were scary. Frightening. We're all glad that James is no longer Gangsta James. God has led him down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Come on. We get around this young man, we start to feel in the presence of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God coming out of his life. Transforming not only his character, but the character of others, begins to lead people into paths of righteousness for God's name's sake. Come on, your life is about more than just you. God wants to take your life and he wants to lead you down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So that others will know him. So that others will become like him, so that others will be fit in to his spiritual house. As Fierce Peter says, they'll be living stones fit together. Come on, God desires that all men would be saved, that none would be cast away. Right? He wants to use your life, not only to guide you and to lead you by quiet waters and to restore your soul. He wants to guide you down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Come on, he wants to take this nation. He wants to take our city. He wants to use you and me, and he wants to guide us. But we got to get the Word of God up inside of us. We got to get the Spirit of God in our hearts, and we got to stir it up. And we got to let God's presence and God's character transform us and shape us and guide us into righteousness so that he can be glorified. That brings glory to his name. The anointing living and dwelling in your life. Come on, that brings glory to his name. That happens when you allow him to lead you down paths of righteousness. You want to bring God's glory. You want to bring glory to God. You want to bring glory to God in your life? You got to let him guide you. You got to let him guide you. Come on, this means in your family. This means in your schools. This means in the workplace. This means at nighttime when nobody else is around. This means when you're tempted to lie, to cheat, to steal, to lust, to gossip, to slander. Come on, you gotta let the Word of God guide you. And you gotta get on the right paths. You got to get off the wrong ones. You got to have the courage to get others in your life so that they can help you get off those wrong paths. Right? Wrong, right? Paths? No, yes. Good? Bad? Right. God help me. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Will you stand with me? We've got to get some light shed on our paths. God bless you. Come on, are you encouraged today? Are you encouraged today to live a life that brings glory to God? You want to be a generation that changes this world in the course of your lifetime? You got to let God guide you into paths of righteousness. Let's pray. God, I ask that today you would transform our hearts and our character, our minds, our lives. You would strengthen us. You gird us up, God. You just transform our minds by the washing of the word. God, that we would never be the same. Lord, that our lives would be renewed. Lord, that you would just begin to guide us. Lord, illuminate your word. Give us a hunger for your word. Come on, ask God for a hunger for your word. Say, Jesus, come on, Jesus, give me a hunger for your word. Lord, we just ask that this hunger would just grow. It would just be built up. You'd fan a flame to it, God. And that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness according to your word, God. That we would desire the fruits of your spirit. We would desire to be intimate with you, God, and to spend time with your Holy Spirit. Give us the desire to speak in tongues, God. Give us the desire to pray in our prayer language and to seek you daily, every day, with everything we have, God, that long periods of time would not go by without us spending time in your word and with your spirit, God. Grow our character. Shape it. Mold it into your nature, God. Build us on a firm foundation in your word and in your spirit. Give us wisdom that's far beyond our years, Lord God. Lord, reveal to us the right paths. God, the paths that take us into right standing with you and with others, Lord God. Open our eyes. God, lift the scales from our eyes. Father, I pray that if there's any path that we're on right now that is impure, that is leading us into impurities and darkness and wickedness and evil things and making our foundation slippery, God, I pray right now you'd reveal it to us and you'd give us the courage to repent and make it right. Lord, we want to bring glory to your name. Come on, pray this with me. Lord Jesus, let me bring glory to your name with my life. Guide me. Lead me into truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. Okay, now wait. I want to pray over you. See, I know this is like two different things. It's not weird. It's good. Look, when we hear something, when we hear the word, we have to respond. If you are unresponsive, you're going to die. I'm sorry. But it's just the truth, and I love you enough to tell you that if you don't respond to the word of God, it's the path of death. Eternal death. For eternity, I'm sorry, in hell with flames burning. Ouch, not good. It's just the truth. You respond to the word of God. Come on, righteousness, faith, purity, love, hope, fulfillment, blessing, prosperity. This is in your destiny. It's not that there's no middle road. We're all neutral and all just okay. So when we hear a word of God, a word from God, and it challenges our hearts, we respond in repentance. We respond in changing our lives. We respond in asking God. If it's not just repentance, we ask the Lord to do it in our life. We need transformation, right? And then you need a blessing. So I want to bless you. Because I like to. And I'm in charge. And I can. So, if you want a blessing today, after you've responded to God, then I want you to lift your hands and I want you to lift your hearts to the Lord, not to me, not to your pastor, but to Jesus. And ask Him, come on, for that blessing. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would pour out a blessing on your people. God, favor, prosperity, increase, wisdom, grace, peace, humility, God, righteousness, God, hunger. Hunger and fire, God, of your Spirit. Right now, I bless your people with the Spirit of God, with your Holy Spirit, God. I pray that you'd fill them now to increase, to overflowing. God, renew their hearts. Renew their strength, God. Give them boldness and courage to walk according to your word, God. Now in Jesus' name. Now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love you. We'll see you next week. We're going to continue on in Psalms. It gets better. It gets better. God has some great stuff for in store for us. So I love you. Be blessed. Bring your friends that need to be led in paths of righteousness. Witness to them. Lead them. Guide them. Amen. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.